Maze Jackson. Anybody here of Maze Jackson? A few of you. He was a camp meeting preacher. When we moved to Greensboro, North Carolina, some people said, I want to take you to hear Maze Jackson. I was used to what I got out here. We went to that church way up in the hills of North Carolina, and it was on, brother. I mean, it was on. And they were standing and shouting and carrying on and running up and down the aisles. I mean, and I'd not seen that before, honestly, except when I went to my uncle's church when I was a kid. That's been a long time. But it comes and goes in that part of the country. How many has heard of Billy Kelly? Yeah. Billy Kelly. He preached for us. He is a great big guy. Great big guy. Not tall, but big. He'd sit right over here for the preliminaries. He'd sit there and go right to sleep. I'd say, all right, Brother Billy, come on. He'd jump up and come on up and preach. He got his rest before it's time to preach. Billy was known as having the Greer Baptist Camp Meeting. And that was over near Greenville, Spartanburg. They put a BMW plant in that area now, so that pretty much is gone. But he would have the Greer Baptist Camp Meeting. It was known for Billy Kelly's famous lemonade. They'd come and get that. But it was an outside arena, sawdust floors. And I was there one time and I thought, I need to take some of my Yankee friends to this. Because it was on also. I mean, they were screaming, they were shouting, they were running, they were having a good time. People were getting their exercise. I'll tell you, they were. So some people out of the north moved down, came to our church. I said, I got to take you to a meeting you will love. It'll be so good for you. You will love it. It's great preaching and wonderful spirited singing, and we'll just have a great time. So we got there and got in, and it was on. And they were sitting there going, it was fun. I just sit over there laughing at them, because I knew that they had never seen anything like that. And one fella, I took him, and his parents were from Binghamton, New York. So they moved down, and Dan said, Dad, we've got to go to a meeting like you've never been to in all of your life. Now, his dad was and mom were very astute, very sincere, very non-emotional, very straight-faced. You never got an amen, hardly ever got a smile out of them. Dan took them, and he came back, and he just was bent over double laughing about the reaction of his mom and dad. You haven't lived until you have been to a Greer Baptist camp meeting. One of the things, if you ever saw the old film that Bob Jones put out called Sheffy, well, Billy played the drunk in that. The moonshiner, he played that, played it to a T, by the way. I wondered sometimes about that, how good he did it. But he is a great preacher, a singer. He played the piano and sing for himself. Get up and just preach. And my, you know that you've had a time. So we had him several times. He said things back in the 70s, you could say publicly, that you don't say now. From the platform or from the piano. And I haven't forgotten those, but I don't repeat them. But anyway, it was good to have him, and we had a great time. And you say, boy, I don't think that's very spiritual. Well, you need to try it for you. You need to try it. You need to go to an old-fashioned Sawdust Trail camp meeting. Well, they get a little bit excited. It will change you. It will do you good. I promise you it will do you good. I would like to address for just a moment all the missionaries, retired missionaries. You've come up to me and talked to me. And And I feel like I'm in presence of royalty. You've served the Lord with your life. You're here now. You're serving the Lord right here. You're being a blessing to this church. And it's been a blessing to me to talk with you and share some time with you. And some of you had some very wonderful ministry. Some of you had some difficult times. But above all, you did the work of God, and God's happy with you. And I praise the Lord for your faithfulness right here. And you came home, you didn't quit. Amen? You just stayed with it, and that's a blessing. And to come back and see you week after week, and your kindnesses and your comments, it's just been an incredible blessing to me personally. And I shared some of these with my wife when we talk each day. And looking forward to going home and seeing her for about 3 days, and then I'll take off again for another couple of Sunday weekends, and I'll be gone and then back home for a while. So keep us in prayer, if you will, please, and pray that my throat holds out. The pollen has been a really difficult time for me this year. If you will be so kind to turn to Galatians chapter 6, please. We've been preaching all week about missions and doing what we're supposed to do and being involved and taking Bible principles and Bible admonitions and going and doing what God told us to do, what He's instructed us to do. I had a friend growing up in my neighborhood. His name was Harry Torrance. They were kids. We rode our bicycles together. We created trails in the woods around our house and rode in those and climbed trees and did all the stuff little boys are supposed to do. I fell out of a tree or two, but that only knocked the wind out for a while. I got back up and went back up a tree. We just had great times growing up. As we got older, as you get older, you begin to change. You come from a little boy, becoming a young man. And one evening, Harry spent the evening with us, and we slept upstairs in our house. And Harry began to talk about things that I didn't think was appropriate, but I didn't say anything. I just was listening. Only trouble is, my daddy was listening. He was down at the bottom of the stairs, and he stuck the door open, and he just listened. Didn't say anything that night. Next day, he came home from work, and he said, "I need to talk to you." He said, "Son, I cannot watch you 24 hours a day. But," he said, "son, you better find you a better friend. He's going to get you in trouble. And you'll get into things that you wish you had not gotten into." And he was right. And I did not resent him saying that. And I began to pull away from this young man and create better friends. And of course, I'd gotten a job at a grocery store a little bit later, and my time was quite involved with that. But the truth is that this young man got into trouble, spent time in jail. He's had a miserable life. About 10 years ago, I heard a knock at my door and went to the door, and there he was, haggard looking, long scraggly hair. Same guy, same kind of grandiose dreams that he's never realized. He's had a terrible life. I don't even know if the boy is still living or not, but my daddy was right, and I listened to him, and I'm so glad I had a dad who had a lot of wisdom. Because it's called sowing and reaping. And my father was a godly man. He loved the Lord. He's a painter. And he painted when painters didn't make much money. He worked for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system, painting the schools and such as that. He'd come home and go back to work and paint on side jobs just to make a living. And he told me one time, he said, "Son, I can't give you everything I'd like to give you, but I'll give you me. I'll give you my love and my life, and I'll work and try to take care of you." When I went off to school here in Springfield, I didn't ask him for a dime. I didn't ask him for monthly support. I didn't ask him to pay my bills. I came, enrolled, started classes, got a job, went to work. I just worked my way through and graduated, never asked him for a dime. One day he said to me, after we had graduated and Chris and I were married, he walked with me and he said, "Son," he said, "I'm sorry I couldn't help you." He said, "I was working all the time just to make ends meet. But I couldn't help you financially. Oh, once in a while I'd get a $5 or $10 letter in the mail, which was good. One day I prayed that God would send me $5 in the mail. Next day I went to the mailbox, opened it up, and there was an envelope. There's $5 in it. I thought, I should have prayed for 20. But God took care of us. God took care of me and met Chris, and we were married here in Springfield, and we've gone on and had a good life, 4 daughters and a lot of grandkids and a happy life and a lot of things that God's allowed us to do. That's called sowing and reaping. That's what that is, sowing and reaping. And I worked hard. I worked very hard going to school, classes, work. Dairy plant work is some of the hardest work you could do. When you were handling all that, those big old tin can, stainless steel gallon, 20-gallon containers, it was hard. Hard work. By the end of school, I didn't think I could go another day. I'd go to work sometimes at 2:30 in the afternoon and get off in time to go to class the next morning. Go to class, dead dog tired. But you know what God did? He was molding me and shaping me. He's preparing me for my life's venture of service to Him. And I worked hard, hard, long hours while I was here. And God blessed us and God helped us. And you know, I don't have much room for lazy people. I just don't. And people complain and cry about, "That's so hard." I just say, get a life. Come on. Amen. Work is important. In fact, Jesus told us we're supposed to work. Labor and work. And we did all of that. And when we were married, then we moved to Greensboro and found a little storefront building. It looked like a Western front store with a rail across the front. I thought, this is an old building. They must have tied horses out here at one time. Old little old country store. It was closed, and we rented that place and moved things back and covered up what we couldn't move out of the building and started church. God blessed. It was hard. I worked a full-time job during that time. I tell them, "Preacher, I didn't know you could go on deputation and raise money to start a church." We just went to a town, started working. Found a place, started a church. The hand of God was on us, and that church is still doing very well today. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we had a little hand in that. And God honored and God blessed that. That's called sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. When our children were young, we made sure they took music. And as all students of music, and it's right exciting at the beginning. When you get out into the hard part, "Daddy, this is hard. Can I quit?" No. You cannot quit. Now today, one of my daughters is a church pianist. Outstanding. The other plays we have a clavinova. She plays it like an organ. It's got the organ instruments on it. Beautiful music. They sing. They're involved, all of them. I wouldn't let them quit. Would not let them quit. And today, they thank me over and over again because we would not let them quit. Sowing and reaping, folks. Sowing and reaping is what I'm talking about tonight. Now, today, many of you begin to put your faith promise cards in. You are sowing. You are sowing a commitment to help missionaries and other people and other works that your church gets involved with to do the work of God. That's exciting. That is a wonderful thing. God's going to honor, continue to honor this church because of your sowing and reaping. And I'm praying that God would give you, when it's all said and done, the greatest ever yet faith promise missions commitment. What a blessing that will be to this preacher back over in the Carolinas. And I know your preacher's going to let me know. I'm excited about it, though. Amen. I'm excited about any church that has the passion and the vision to reach the lost at any cost, going after them. You know, we want our missionaries to be well cared for, well taken care of, and we must then sow into their ministries, then to reap back from their ministry. We had a young, and I mentioned them earlier, I think, in the week, but we had a couple from Ecuador come to our church. They'd come to America for the American dream. They hit the church a few times, moved on up into Maryland, and then moved back. When they moved back, they had split. And Franco and Vanessa decided they were going to divorce. They met in a shopping center parking lot, and they discussed their terms for separation and divorce. I don't know the story behind this, but they came back to church together. And then they came back to church together. And then they came back to church together. And God began to work in their hearts. And it wasn't long they had reconciled. They had gotten right with God and began to serve in the church there. And it's a wonderful thing to see God work. And he was a highly educated man, by the way, from the university there in Quito. What a great man that he was. I mean, serving the Lord. And one day he came to me. He had become the interim pastor of the Spanish division of our church at that time. Doing a great man, a great leader, a lot of wisdom. And he came to me and he said, "Preacher, I got to go." I said, "Where?" "I got to go home, back to Ecuador." "Why?" "My people are dying without Christ." And he did go back, he and his family, and they are serving the Lord today. I just talked to his son last Sunday. He was at church and said they're in Spain right now doing ministry. But they established Iglesia Baptista de la Fe, Faith Baptist Church in Santo Domingo. They started out with a handful. And the last time I was there, we had a big, 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 unbelievable service. And there were about 2,000 people that were there. They put up the tents and just had such a service, and people were saved and God worked. I got to see that. I got to be his pastor when they were struggling. We invested in Franco and Vanessa. Then they started 10 other churches in Ecuador. That's pretty exciting too, isn't it, folks? In a pagan nation that's steeped in Catholicism, that again is sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. My mother and daddy came off the farm. They left the farm, but the farm never left them. Some of you can agree with that. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. They built that old house, and now it's a business. Today would have been daddy's 113th birthday. He's celebrating in heaven, by the way, he and mom. And they wanted to have a garden, so they had the guy come and plow a great big field that nobody could keep up with if you only had a hoe. Next year it got smaller, and next year it got smaller, and then smaller, till finally it was manageable. And we would go grow green beans and tomatoes and okra and potatoes and all of that stuff, corn. Mama would say, "Son, go pick the green beans." We'd take a bucket and go pick the green beans. Then she'd say, "Now shell them." You know what that means? Somebody look at me like, What's that? You pull the string off of them and you break them into pieces. And that's how you get those little pieces of green bean. I did a lifetime's worth when I was growing up of those things. Dig the potatoes. The potato leaf, the bush would attract what we would call tater bugs. You know about tater bugs? They'd eat your vine up. So mama would say, now son, get the kerosene. Put some kerosene in this bucket. Go out there and shake the vines and get the potato bugs off of them, tater bugs off of them. We did that. I mean, did all kind of stuff, sowing and reaping. I'm talking tonight about sowing and reaping. Spring come around, they'd have the garden plowed and lay off the rows, and we'd go out there and plant corn and all the different things would grow. Now, I was young and didn't know a whole lot about time regarding the time for the seed to die and germinate and then start springing through the earth. Daddy said, and Mama said, now it's going to take several days for this start to come up. I'd go out there every day saying, where's the plant? Where is it? Where is it? Finally, you go out one day and it starts breaking through the earth, sowing and reaping. And the plant would grow and we would reap the tomatoes and the corn and and all the different things, vegetables that we planted. And then Mom would take it inside after we prepared the green beans or whatever it was, and she would can it. How many has ever canned vegetables? She taught me something about that whenever she was canning it. She said, son, put this on top of the jar, this little lid, and screw this down a little bit, not too tight, but just put it on there. Then we're gonna put it in the canner cooker. We're gonna let it cook a while, and when it's done, we'll take it out and set it out. Son, listen for the pop. That's when you know that jar has sealed. It's sealed. And when it's 25 degrees outside, and you go to the pantry and you open up one of those jars of tomatoes and green beans and corn. That's good. That's real good. Sowing and reaping. I'm talking about sowing and reaping, how we are to give our lives to do the things that best honors God. Only by the grace of God. I never drank any type of alcohol in my life. Only by the grace of God. I had it here, but God said no. And he stopped me. And I can say with a clear conscience tonight that that's never happened in my life. But I cannot say that I'm any better than anybody else that did it and then got saved. Because we're all saved by the grace of God. All of us are saved by the grace of God, but sowing and reaping, and that's what we're talking about tonight, is sowing, investing our lives in others, pouring yourself into others. I know this has happened to your preacher. My phone rings at 3:30 in the morning. A frantic voice on the other end says, preacher, so-and-so just got killed in a wreck. Can you come to the hospital? I get up and get dressed and I'm on the way to the hospital and preach. I don't know about you, but I'm praying all the way there. Lord, I have no idea what to say to these people. I have no idea. But God gives it to me when I get there with them. It's an amazing thing what God does when we go through these type things. I got a call. We had our Christmas cantata several years ago. It was second Sunday in December. We always had it on the second Sunday. This couple was there. Susan and Don were there, sitting in the back area where they always sat. Good Baptist. And I told them good night. Thank you for coming. They went home. We went home. About 7:00 in the morning, Susan calls frantically and says, preacher, Don's dead. said, Susan, say it again. He's dead. He died in his sleep. What do you say to somebody? How do you comfort somebody going through that type of a horrible, difficult situation? But we invested our lives into these people. And every Sunday when I'm home, there's a group that comes to me and says, Preacher, it's so good to see you. You invested your life into me. Our family was changed. Our lives were changed. Our kids were changed. Our marriage was healed because you invested in us. I think that's a wonderful thing that you can invest in somebody. Amen. Give your heart and your life to people. Investing. You reap if you sow. You actually reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. And you reap later than you sow. We're pouring our lives into people. And God's pleased and honored with that. To make it real plain, sowing is the investing of my life and my time and my energy and all of this, whether I want to or not. And if I sow, and I will, I then will reap the fruit and results of how I have been sowing. When my mother's family, they had a big old farm down in Anson County, North Carolina. They had the biggest old strawberries you ever seen. When I knew it was about time for the strawberries, I said, can we go visit Grandma? Because I knew what God was going to get, strawberries about like that. Almost could put a straw in them and suck them. They're so good. Big old peaches off the peach tree. We'd bring home a case or two of eggs from the hens they laid out there. It's just sowing and reaping. Sowing. Hosea 8:7 says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. In the book of Haggai, chapter number 1, and starting with verse number 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus consider the Lord of hosts. Consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe ye, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. The Lord said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You see, if you're going to sow to the world, that's you. That's you. And I know this is a whole different situation, but my application is this. If you don't sow which is pleasing to God and that which is right, you're sowing and you're putting your investment in bags with holes in them. You're wasting your life. Young people, I tell you, the best thing you could ever do is here tonight say, God, protect me. Put a hedge about me. Keep me safe. The opportunities out here are abounding for sin. You walk out of this building and get out on this street and go anywhere you want to go, and the opportunities for immorality, the opportunities for drugs, the opportunities for sin, they are out there. My son-in-law is a policeman for our city. Actually, his job now is crime scene. CSI, crime scene. And he goes to the crime after the fact. He goes to the murder after the fact. He goes to where some drug-crazed man or woman kills an infant, and he has to deal with that. It's a hard thing. It's a very hard thing. Would to God that you and I here tonight will make up our minds, we will not go the way of the world. Young people, give your hearts to God. Look in Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter number 6. Verse 6 tells us this. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And the word communicate means let's fellowship in the right things. Let's have fellowship in the things of God. From the very beginning of the church, sharing is one of the means of Christian experience. You look in the book of Acts, we won't turn there, but in the book of Acts chapter 2, they were sharing and helping each other with the needs that they had. They were sowing and they were reaping profitably. The Greek word koinonia, sharing, means several things. To have in common, number one, that is our fellowship in Christ. Let's get together and koinonia some. Let's fellowship some. It talks about our common faith, our common fellowship, to share in the suffering of Jesus Christ. Often it refers to sharing of material blessings one with another. In Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayer. They were involved with each other. They were caring for each other. They were meeting needs that others had. It's not easy to say, preacher, I have a need. It's not easy to open yourself up and say, I need your prayers. My life is weak and I need love and prayer. Some people think, well, they'll be critical of me then. I don't think your church will. Your pastor will love you, your church will love you, and they'll help you and encourage you. He begins with a precept in verse number 6, Galatians 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. The teacher of the word shares spiritual treasures. And those who are taught ought to share the materials that you've been taught with others so they can learn what you know and be equipped to serve the Lord with their lives. Paul himself did not want money to become a stumbling block to the unsaved. A lot of times he was called the tent maker. When he needed to work, needed something, he would work. I was a tent maker, so to speak. I worked. And I'd come home, and I can remember many a time, preacher. Our girls were little at the time, maybe just about a year and a half old, 2 years. I'd come in from my job. I'd eat supper. I'd say, I got to go make some visits. Hardest thing in the world was when my little girls grabbed me around the legs and said, Daddy, don't go. I need you to stay here. I said, girls, I got to do it. Chris, you got to come get them. And I remember that to this day. When they put their little arms around my legs and said, please, Daddy, please don't go. I hadn't seen you all day. And I needed to be with them. But I also needed to go out and do the work that God gave me to do. You know about that. He repeatedly taught the church that the spiritual leader in the church was to be supported by the gifts of the people. And Jesus said the laborer in Luke 10:7 is worthy of his hire. And it's important that that is a practice in all Bible-believing churches. He continues with a spiritual principle that is an important part of a child of God. God does not command believers to give simply that pastors and teachers and missionaries might have their needs met, but that the giver might get a great blessing as he serves God with his gifts. And when you give your faith promise and you turn it in to the ministry here, and this ministry sends it out, oh, what a blessing that is. I've often asked my daughter and her husband, when they get their monthly statements, how you doing? All your churches being faithful? Did some drop you? Did some stop supporting? And that happens along the way. But oh, let's be faithful, folks. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. God has told us to be careful where we sow. Our material possessions are seeds, and there's two kinds of soil, the flesh and the spirit. Let's sow to spiritual things. Amen? Let's do that which pleases the Lord. But once we have finished sowing, we cannot change the harvest. If you sow to the world, the flesh, and the devil, you're going to reap from that. And you can't change it. If you sow to the things of God and you're faithful to God and you love God and honor Him and you sow that way, God is honored. He'll bless you because of it. The Bible says in due season, verse 9 of Galatians 6, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Church, let's do good, amen? Let's sow good seed. Let's keep doing the things that God wants this church to do. And let's keep seeing the missions grow, and let's keep seeing more missionaries come on board, and let's keep seeing God work, whether it's over in Singapore, whether it's over in South America or Kenya or wherever these and other missionaries are going. Let's sow. I often thought, preacher, I'd like to imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven and these people that have been reached by our missionaries come up around us and say, thank you for sending. I got saved because you sent. I got saved because you sowed properly. God, help us to be faithful. Let's not faint. If we faint, it's because of lack of prayer. If we faint, it's because of lack of the intake of the Word of God. If we faint, it's because we have not allowed the Word of God to minister to us in our own private time, our own time with the Lord. The promises of God, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. When I go back to our services, the church that I pastored, I'm there ever so often. I look around. I'm not anxious to get back in that pulpit and be the pastor. But I get excited to look around and say, that couple, that man, that woman, that marriage, their son, which you support, surrendered to the mission field. And on, I look around, I see all that, and I say, praise the Lord. That's exciting. That is exciting to see God work like that. Sowing and reaping. I shared with you some examples out of my own life and some of the things that I've seen over the years, sowing and reaping. We had a family come to our church, got really involved, very involved. But recently, the wife walked out on her husband, left him alone. She just recently remarried. He and my wife and I had a long conversation this last Sunday. He came to our house for lunch, and I said, let's talk a little bit. We spent some time together. We spent some time. We wanted to help him. And I said, his name is Onyx in Puerto Rico. I said, Onyx, whatever you do, they have little girls, beautiful little girls. I said, don't ever criticize her in front of your children. You're going to reap it if you do. You'll reap what you sow. I said, you be positive. You be faithful. You come to church. And the weekends that you have them, you make sure they're in church. Onyx, you're sowing and you're going to reap. Have them there. Have them there. And he said, I would. So we'll see. Amen. We'll see what he does. God help us, whether you're young or seniors, be faithful. Give your mission support. Give your tithe and offerings and be faithful to God. Love your preacher and his wife, and love those that lead you here. This is important. Too many churches are in trouble today. Not a week goes by that I don't see a notice. We're looking for a pastor. 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 Some of those are not looking for a pastor. They're looking for an employee and not looking for a man of God. You have a man of God here. You back him, love him, and support him. Stay faithful. Give your cards. Turn them in. Deport the work. I'm excited to see what's going to happen over the next month. Would you bow with me, please, for prayer? Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Letting the Lord have his way with you. I want to challenge you. Young people, are you willing to give your life to God? Are you willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for your glory and your honor. You will be the happiest of anybody if you do God's will. Well, I'm in the fifth grade, or I'm in the sixth grade, or I'm in the eighth or ninth. It's too early for me to make that decision. Oh, no, it's not. You make it now. When God speaks to your heart, what a blessing it's going to be when you completely, completely surrender to him. Let him have his way. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, Preacher Walters, God's speaking to my heart about my life. Maybe I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord. Maybe my life is just not quite right. I come to church. I put on that pretty good face. But the truth is, I'm just not where I need to be with the Lord. And I really would like for you to pray for me. Can I pray for you? Would you lift your hand, please, for prayer? Can I pray for you? Anyone tonight? Remember me in prayer, please. God bless you, sir. Amen. Who else? You could be a Sunday school teacher and not be where you ought to be with the Lord. You could be a choir member and not be where you ought to be with the Lord. That lady that walked out on her husband, she was a choir member. Who else? Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Would you slip your hand up, please? It's God speaking to your heart. God bless you. Thank you. Who else? God bless you, sir. Who else? Pray for me. Pray for me. If God spoke to you, you wanted prayer. We're going to pray for you in just a moment. It'd be a wonderful thing, not for a show, but just come to this altar. I love these prayer kneeling benches here. I haven't seen those in years. Why don't you come and just before God, say, God, help me. Sowing and reaping. I want what's best for my life. Would you stand, please?